Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for your patience. We are glad to be hosting the City of Morro Bay's Tourism Business Improvement District Advisory Board meeting today, Thursday, February 15th. Officially, it looks like the time is 9:04. It's on. Hello? Testing, 1, 2. Is that better? Thank you. Thanks, Red. I would like to thank my board members that are here, and also thank my board members that are not here and hope that they're well. Also, Ken Clark, I'm just glad to have Ken. This is my first meeting with you, so I'm welcome to the board. Maggie Jurin is also here. I'm glad that we're all here. Sean Green and Taylor Newton, last but not least. We will have a fairly quick meeting today. First, I'd like to know that we've called to order and established our quorum. And are there any board member announcements? The only one I have is in regards to the Go West Summit, which I attended in Jennifer's place. And I have to say that Morro Bay was very well accepted. A lot of folks did not know about what we are, who we are, or where we are. And so the presentation done both in English and in Mandarin was very successful. The gift that we gave them of a sand dollar with the Put Life on Coast message and morrobay.org was a very well-accepted small tchotchke for them. And we are anticipating some great things, as well as press. The Central Coast Tourism Council met this last 2 weeks ago and have been approached by two magazines. One is the New Korean Times and one is called America, which is a German language. And they're looking to do stories here. And so better press, and it's very very well attended and very interesting. I have the sample flyers if anyone would like to see them, what we did produce, professionally done, and again, both in English and in Chinese, which really was extremely well received. I didn't see anyone else who had the same type of collateral that we had, and so we'll be following up with those, and that again was a great thing. Any staff announcements?
Yeah, I was just going to bring up the fact that we are having our stakeholder meeting on March 1st, and just to make sure everybody's aware of that, and hopefully all the board members can attend and other appropriate people. So,
I'd like to open the floor to public comment. Shannon, thank you.
Good morning. My name is Shannon McAllister, and I am the Marketing and Communications Coordinator for Morro Bay Tourism. I am filling in for Jen today as she is attending a conference in Anaheim with Visit California. So you have me. I have a couple staff announcements. So yesterday we ran a promotion for Valentine's Day, and that was where any guest that booked a hotel on Valentine's Day in Morro Bay received a free bottle of wine and an appetizer from Stack's Wine Bar. And the way that worked is when the guests checked into their hotel room, they received a voucher, and they can just go take that voucher to Stack's either on the 14th or the 15th and get their bottle of wine, get their appetizer. They're welcome to upgrade to a more expensive bottle of wine and utilize that value to purchase a bigger bottle of wine if they'd like to, more of their choosing. They can also substitute for a different appetizer if the Ratatouille appetizer does not satisfy their dietary needs. This is also a 100% TBID sponsored promotion. It costed $43 retail value for the appetizer and the bottle of wine, but Stacks is charging us $15 per both those items. So it's a great added value for the hotel guests. A lot of the hoteliers were really excited to see that when I was delivering the vouchers the other day. So I'm excited to see how that turns out today and tomorrow, and see how the redemption went. So we are bringing back the idea of the Santa Crawl again for St. Patrick's Day. This crawl is going to be a little bit longer. It's going to be from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. The Santa Crawl was from 6 to 9, hoping that people have a little bit more time to enjoy themselves. This promotion is also entirely restaurant sponsored. I know the Santa Crawl, we had retailers and restaurants both on board, and we had wineries come and pour their own wine. But these are entirely restaurant-based, and the restaurants will be providing the liquor themselves, the wine, the beer, and pouring their own product. So it's driving commerce and promoting the restaurants around town as opposed to the wineries. We're really excited about that. The tickets are on sale now. They're $15 a person. And you can get them on eventbrite.com or at my office. So we're also doing the citywide annual yard sale, April 6th through 8th. This guy is going to be a three-day event officially this year. They're also considering talking about doing a Sunday sidewalk sale, where businesses can put a few of their products out on the sidewalk and drive some commerce downtown and to the Embarcadero areas and help out some local businesses. We are publishing the map for the yard sale on April 5th in the Bay News, so guests and community members can get the map early, kind of figure out their plan of action, and hopefully stay for the whole 3 days. So our Kite Festival is also now a three-day event. It's going to be a lot bigger this year, and it will include programming inside the Bay. We hired on Terry Bayes as the event coordinator to program this event. She did Winterfest with us, and she did an excellent job. It was a complete success. The entire town was very happy. Hoteliers were happy. And she's also helping us with the Leprechaun Crawl, so we're excited to see where she takes us with that. So
and Shannon, real quick on that, what are the dates on the Kite Festival? Do we have that?
I will have to get back to you on the official dates.
No problem.
I think it's usually the first weekend in April. Yeah.
Is it the same as the yard sale weekend?
I'll get back to you on that, guy.
Now I'd like to open the floor to public comment.
Can I ask one quick question? Shannon, do you know how many customers or guests we had participate yesterday and today?
For our Valentine's wine promotion?
Yes.
295 vouchers we signed up and delivered. So hopefully we had 295 redeemed. We will see how that goes.
I see no public comment, and we have no consent agenda. Business items. Shannon.
If you could open up the first PowerPoint. Not that one, the original one with the butterflies on the cover.
Oh.
Thank you. Okay, here is our TOT report for December 2017. We were up from last year with 52% occupancy, and last year was 50%. Market factors, we had a lot of positive ones for December. Winterfest was huge. That drove a lot of people into the town. It was town-wide Christmas cheer. It was incredible. That also tied into the tall ships as we had the Lady Washington sail during our boat parade. Christmas holiday was another positive one. We also held special rates for the Thomas Fire evacuees and act as sort of a sanctuary for them. We also gave away free Santa Crawl tickets for the evacuees, and it kind of drove some of them into our town for that time. Negatives, of course, the Highway 1 closure, but we were still up for this year, so I think we are okay. And here is Jen Calloway's beautiful report from the city. I'm sure you guys want to read that thoroughly, but I'll just explain it to you in a few words. We've got 52% occupancy at the top for December, and then the bottom one we have 50% from last year, December 2016. So our marketing...
In the number of motel rooms, it looks like we dropped by 10, which is a significant drop. Any easy explanation for that?
I can answer that. Remodel. We've taken a few rooms out at the time to finish bathroom remodels.
Okay. So that's all attributed?
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Any public comment regarding the TOT report?
Good morning. Joan Solu, and I have a hotel here in town. So I see that we have a bump in December's occupancy percentage, mostly due to the evacuees from the Thomas Fire. I know that my hotel and my friends' hotels were significantly impacted in a positive way with that. And I would say that we were negatively impacted by the mudslide that followed that in January. So what I'd like to see for the January TOT report, I'm requesting that this board do kind of an in-depth analysis of the December and January report together. Look at the 2 months from last year. You have to look at it holistically, because they're going to offset each other. They're going to offset each other. You're going to see a dip in January. You're going to see the increase in December. You're going to see a dip in January. And I think that you need to look at those together so that you can see what the actual balance is from that. And I would ask you to keep your eye on the increase in revenue being caused from increase in room rates, and have you look at your successes in marketing and refine those successes and enhance them as you move forward with a marketing plan for next year. And I would have you look at those projects that were challenged or that failed to drive room revenue, because your focus needs to be room revenue, room revenue, room revenue, right? I mean, your focus is hotel room. It's hotel revenue, increasing hotel revenue, which increases the bottom line impact of TOT to the city, because this is a business opportunity for the city. It's a partnership. It's a business. It's an opportunity for the city to grow its revenues without taxing its residents. So I would ask you to look at those things that did not work, the challenges that did not work, and the things that we marketed that created a negative impact to hotels or that challenged the hotels, like posting rate. I would ask that you drive the marketing for the future fiscal year of, or the end of this year, and the future fiscal year of 18-19, which you should be in the throes of creating that marketing drive right now, because March 1st is when you have your TBID report. I'd ask that you really focus on those things for this next year. Thanks.
Thank you, Joan.
Can I comment? I had a couple of things from the last meeting that are somewhat related to what Joan was just talking about. Due diligence on why we're here, as far as reporting and stuff goes. I had asked for a report on the grant recipients and if they had turned in their documentation and their receipts. I'm waiting on that. I know Jennifer's not here, so I'm still waiting on that. And then I had also asked about, And I was reviewing the resolution that actually is the new resolution from when we changed from the former style of TBID to this new style. Because I was on the former one, and now I'm on the new one. I've been around for a while. And I remember when we changed that, all of the incentives, because unlike many of our advisory boards, this is a part, like she just said, this is a partnership with our hotels. And I know that a lot of the incentives that were offered are, it's very important that we make sure that we follow through with those and that we practice due diligence on reporting and review and follow the rules that were set forward in that, what is basically a contract. So I just sent an email to Jen, and I'm following up on that. I don't really have anything to say about it at this meeting, but I definitely wanted the public to know that I hear what Joan's saying. And you know, when you look at the January-December numbers and you compare them to last year, are we seeing a change because of, you know, the environment, or are we seeing a change because of marketing? And in reviewing that, that'll give us feedback on how we choose to go forward with our marketing contract, which is due, when do we decide on our new marketing contract?
I believe it's April.
Good. So I would like the public to know that I'm listening, and you know, I really want to make sure that our hotels are taken care of, because that's why I'm here, is working for the hotels. The businesses don't put money into the T-bid. The hotels do. It's a partnership, and nothing bothers me more than taxation without representation.
I think it's really important, too, and Joan, I echo your comments, that we learn from our mistakes, you know, that we take the comments, and that what we really need, we need our constituents to talk to us. We need to hear, and thank you for coming today. We need to hear more from our partner hotels and what's working for them, what's not. And it's sort of difficult sometimes when we're working up here in a vacuum almost with very little input from other businesses. So I strongly suggest anyone who's in the business, in the hospitality business, that has direct benefit from what we're doing to help us to come to these meetings and to get the information about the programs and the marketing that we're doing, what is working for them and what is not. It's really important to us. But if we don't hear from folks, we are only as good as what the information that we get. When we're just looking at numbers, it's very difficult. But getting the feeling from each, as many hoteliers as we can do it to help. The other thing is that, you know, we've got a crazy world with lots of changing things. Fires, earthquakes, mudslides, tsunamis, who knows what's coming at us next? You know, and so it's difficult to market towards that. So we have to, you know, do our best to be creative and proactive in our approach to marketing, but we also need to be reactive in some ways to be able to benefit from and help out. And I think that, you know, helping out with the Thomas Fire was a, you know, folks were, was a big thing. Again, when Highway 101 closed, we were shut off. So there's so much fluidity that you have to have some flexibility in the marketing plan. So anyway, I just want to say thank you for everyone who makes comments. And working together, I think we can come up with a great plan for this upcoming season.
Yeah, and emails work great for me. If there's any hoteliers out there that have any concerns, send me an email. I love speaking up on mic, on camera. There's nothing I enjoy more with this seat that I have than getting at people that aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. I really enjoy finding the truth out and talking about it, even if I'm wrong, which I think I never am.
Well, without taking too long, to dovetail what Joan said, I definitely agree. Also, Joan and I had a conversation last month, and she had asked it to be brought back before the board, that we don't market dollars and cost and pricing. We don't want to undersell the great franchise we have in Morro Bay. And when we start advertising cheap rooms, that's exactly what we're doing. And it was important to Joan. It was important to another hotelier that came to see me about 2 weeks ago that we make sure we don't do that anymore. That we don't advertise $80 rooms, because it's a handicap for the whole system. So that said, thank you.
Any further comment? I think we're going to be moving on to marketing public relations update.
All right, so we have a new outdoor board that's currently being installed on Highway 1. It features our new logo, as you can see in the bottom right-hand corner, and our new tagline on the left, and an awesome photo that I really think showcases our town, and happy people in a hotel room, which is exactly what we want. So that'll be installed very soon. This past month, we were featured in a huge publication called Travel and Leisure. The article was titled, "Here are 365 beaches, one for every day in 2018. Morro Bay is on this list." We were also featured in a United Airlines publication called United Hub, and the article was titled, "Five Last-Minute MLK Weekend Getaways." Morro Bay was the first location listed and the only image above the fold. As you can see there, that was the image, beautiful sunset. A similar story from LA Times. It was, "What's up for MLK Day weekend?" Same situation where Morro Bay was the first location listed and the only image above the fold. This article talked about the Winter Bird Festival, the State Park, and the Natural History Museum, all these awesome items that we want people to come and enjoy.
Any public comment? Any questions, comments, concerns?
One moment. May I approach you? I don't think I'm that scary, but it's a scary world, so I wanted to ask if I could approach you. I'm Joan Solu. I own a hotel here, and I was one of the founding members of the original TBIT here in Morro Bay, working in partnership with the city. I wanted to bring up to you that I attended the city's goal workshop, and I was a little dismayed to see that there weren't really any advisory board members there at all, from anybody, so it wasn't just you, but from anybody. And it might have been the time of day. But in any case, I brought forward to them some concerns that I have, which mainly are surrounding the resolution that they put into play in 0316. I would suggest that today you ask the city clerk to send you a link to the original document that formed the TBID, and then a copy of this resolution electronically. This is 0316, and you are missing the first page, which says, "Whereas the city managed its tourism promotions and marketing operations with the intent in the past, whereas it's imperative to the city to strategically align all economic development operations, whereas, it goes into a now, therefore, be it resolved by the city council in the city of Morro Bay as following," and then it goes into the shalls. Now, this makes this document, when it says shall, it means it shall be done. That's a lockdown, knockdown, drag out, it shall be done by staff. Shall means shall. Even when I'm talking to my kids, shall means shall. The city shall directly manage its tourism promotions. Number two, expert tourism professionals reporting to the city manager or his designee. You get down to number three, the TBIT advisory board shall participate in the annual review of the city's tourism manager and will assist in setting goals and matrix to measure the success of the community's tourism promotions and marketing undertaken by this contracted professional. The advisory board shall review and make recommendations for the selection of any future tourism manager. That's your job. That's part of your job every year. Should be listed in part of your work plan, but it's not. And I don't think that any of you would raise your hands if I asked you to raise your hand if you participated in that process. I think it's imperative that you really look at these documents and you follow what needs to be done to meet the shells and the guidelines of your partners, the hoteliers. The TBID advisory board shall have enhanced duties that include not only the general tourism marketing promotions, but efforts to enhance the destination of Morro Bay as it relates to tourism. Then you go down to number four. The city shall commit $300,000 in transient occupancy taxes to the city's tourism operations. It is intended the budget shall provide for amount incrementally to increase of 20%. You should look for that 20% increase this year. It shall happen, according to this document signed by our mayor. I'd like you to look over the rest of the numbers, 7, 8, and 9. It's a very, very important document to how you structure yourself this upcoming year to cause effect for the hoteliers. Thank you.
Thank you, Joan. Has this board, who has not on this board seen this document?
I've seen this document, but I mean, it is definitely not something that I've read recently or discussed recently. Or, I mean, I personally get wrapped up in what we're talking about up at each meeting. And when I leave the meeting, I read my emails and answer my phone calls within 7 days, and I go to work. But besides that, I mean, I don't own a hotel. And I'm working on the T-bid for, gosh, it's like my fourth year. So I'm doing my best I can. But, I mean, Joan coming up here and putting this in front of me is so helpful. And emails from hoteliers is so helpful. And like I was just saying before, I mean, following the rules it's so important in government. The moment we forget about following the rules, it just opens up giant pitfalls, which just scare me.
Very astute to bring this. This is something that I've had since I joined the board, something that I read over quite a few times, that I forwarded to other folks within the city. Former city manager and I had quite a few discussions regarding this document. I have not yet had the discussion with the current city manager regarding this resolution. But this is binding, and it should be in our work program, and I think that it's very timely to bring it back to our board so that we can go through each of these, slowly read it over and understand how important this document is. A lot of what I was doing regarding this document was more in the what the city was charging us as an organization in regards to the city shall provide accounting, legal advice, IT support. And we've gone through this before, you know, and so that's, again, I think that it really is an important document for us to read over and bring back to this board as far as what is and what isn't in our work plan that needs to be in regards to this resolution. So, again, Joan, thank you for bringing this back. This is what we need to be working with. Any further comment? Seeing none, I think it's time for us to move on to our presentations from our grant recipients who have been so kindly, patiently waiting. How about Taste of the Grove? Erica Crawford from the Morro Bay Chamber. Thanks for being here, Erica.
Thanks for having me. We received both a sponsorship and a grant from this body for this last year, for two events that are fairly closely related in that they're both related to the avocado that's growing right in our backyard. So I prepared a little slideshow that has both. I hope that's okay. Is it all right with you if I kind of present both? And then I'm really looking forward to your feedback and your questions. So I will start. I'm really cold, so I'm sorry. I'm like shivering. Okay. So as a reminder for all of us, this was the sponsorship opportunity. It was a TBIT exclusive is the way we billed it. It was for $5,000. We provided 500 event passes for a total value of $3,500 back to tourism. Jennifer and her staff handed those out to hotel rooms, so that was encouraging hotel guests to come on down and have a good time. I don't know how Jennifer pre-marketed that, if this was something that hotels were providing before as an enticement to book rooms. But I do have occupancy stats that we can look into as part of this presentation. We also provided, of course, as with any sponsorship, logo and booking link on all print and electronic media. We had single banner placement near the stage, acknowledgement from the stage. We had Dave Sozino from The Rock, who does a great job and brings life to that stage. So he was great with announcing the sponsorship from the city and from the TBID, from tourism, logo and booking link on electronic communications, so that included any Eventbrite, that came into play really with the Taste of the Grove as well, and all of our social media, and then the logo and booking link on our website. And I do have click-through information for you in this presentation for Jackrabbit. This is what we're talking about. This is Avocado Margarita Festival. We saw 12,000 people on site in that one day. That included volunteers and people paying through the gate. We did expand our layout this year. I think one of the top three complaints we get year in and year out is that it's very crowded, which is, I guess, a good thing. But we did expand one additional block, and we moved some of our vendors. That photo on the bottom is kind of, we called it the dance pit. We moved some of the chairs out, had some sunbed loungers, basically provided some breathing room for people at the festival this year. And that's our truss at one of the entrances. I think that was the in front of Marina Square entrance. I want to talk some of our branding. This was the festival guide. This is produced in-house. We have Jenny Gosnell Graphics, and she's my staff person. She does a great job. This is an insert that was placed, was produced in quantity 10,000. It was distributed before the holiday weekend, the week before, so it was sitting in coffee shops and public gathering places for a whole week, and over that weekend when people were in town in Paso Robles and Atascadero, we also had them delivered to the visitor center, and we had them handed out at the visitor center, and we passed them around in town. And then this we also provided to the Bay News and or to Simply Clear Marketing, and they placed this as an insert into their Slow City News, Coast News, and the Bay News. I want to give a shout out to our local talent. So this is Heather Barbas Designs. She redesigned our logo. She redesigned all of our marketing. And she submitted her work to, I think it was a state, if not a national review board for her work. And she did. She won. So she got some great recognition for her work on our festival. And this is an example of something that we tried a new market this year with our print ads. We placed this advertisement in 805 Living magazine, which we know covers from Malibu all the way up through Paso Robles. Different look, more of that watercolor kind of feel, in an attempt to attract sort of a different consumer. And some of our marketing, we write press releases, we generate those. One was picked up by Mental Marketing, so please extend our thanks to Marianne Stansfield and Bill. But they shopped this around, and we were recognized as one of the top 12 best food festivals in the fall nationwide by Travel and Leisure magazine online. And then that wound up being picked up by Smithsonian Travel. So that was also marketed out. So great coverage for Morro Bay. Some dollars and cents or actual impact. So occupancy on Friday was 95%, Saturday 97%. I would be remiss to omit the fact that for the first time in 11 years, Avocado Margarita Festival happened on the same weekend as the Cal Poly WOW weekend, which I know also drives occupancy. It was unfortunate that it happened like that. We don't anticipate that happening in the future. We've been having our festival on the same first weekend in September always. But occupancy rates the year before, I think, were 94, 96%. So I think we are still absolutely having a positive impact on occupancy with this festival. We do a post-event survey. This is our second year doing it. We got 419 responses, which, you know, is not significant with 12,000 people through the door, but it gives us a good indication of what people's behaviors are when they're coming to the festival. So they reported of the 419 responses, 33% stayed in Morro Bay. 29 of those 33% stayed in hotels and motels, 5.4 in vacation rentals, Airbnbs, VRBOs, 9% in RVs or campgrounds. We did also ask questions about economic impact, so 59% reported that they shopped, ate, or played in town on either or both of Friday and Sunday. We are making a good effort this year to kind of extend this into Sunday, so we're looking at ways to entice people to shop around and stay that Sunday and spend money on Sunday. 47% reported that they spent more than $50 outside of the festival, not including on accommodation. So that's hotels, or rather, that's restaurants, that's at the gas pump, you know, that's retail, recreational activities. And 82% of attendees reported that they'd be likely, and that went from slightly likely to extremely likely, to recommend the festival. So that's like a net promoter score. 34% of those said that they'd be extremely likely. Online, we have a great online presence. We hire Rock Harbor Marketing to do our online, and all of our social media does a great job. It's Travis Ford. So in the 60 days prior to the event, from avramargfest.com, we had almost 50,000 page views with 21,000 visitors to the page. And web traffic was 13% from San Francisco. These are the top five cities. San Francisco, Los Angeles, Fresno, Bakersfield, 6% from SLO. They found us via Facebook, organic search on Google, directly typing in our website, morobay.org, and SLOCAL. We had 1,954 clicks to the Jackrabbit booking site from our site. It was the number one clicked link. And we do actually still have that that link, book your hotel stay here, on our front page of avramargfest.com. That kind of never goes away. And I will say, too, Travis put a post out yesterday on Facebook, you know, enticing people, hey, get excited about the festival again. Already almost 2,000 likes. You know, already people are saying, we got to book the rooms, you know, tagging their friends. It's very interactive. Facebook stats, you know, it's huge. People are very active. So switching gears to Taste of the Grove, the photos on the left show Taste of the Grove, kind of the food, the ambiance. It is a different festival. It's not a festival at all. It's a high-end food, wine event. So our marketing and the way that we present this event looks different. It's a lighter touch with the script. You know, our logo is that Taste of the Grove on the top. It's elegant. It's high-end. It feels very intimate. It's for those of you who have not attended, it's at an avocado grove, beautiful, grassy kind of knoll with a historic building, a farm packing shed right behind it. It's beautiful. It's about 200 to 250 guests, so it is a small event. And it's the best restaurants. We've got Artisan, Fig Good Food, the Inn at Morro Bay participated. Buttercup Bakery made this incredible avocado mousse. And I think the point here is that Avocado Margarita Festival, you know, while it began as a festival to celebrate this local bounty, avocados that taste so different from all the avocados that are grown in other places because of the unique growing conditions here, it kind of had a little drift into the margarita territory for a while, you know, so we've been trying to bring the focus back to the culinary experience. And a lot of that is because we stay in touch with what marketing trends are from our local, you know, from our tourism department and also from SLOCAL. And what we've found through attending seminars and things like that is that people are traveling for beach and people are traveling for culinary experiences. So Taste of the Grove, this was our second year, and it was a drive to attract people to want to come for a culinary experience. This is what it looks like. You know, it's beautiful. It's fine. It's a different experience from the street festival, which is loud and busy. And what's happened with Taste of the Grove is that we've started to kind of take that focus. Like I said, we're trying to bring the focus back to the avocado. This was our crazy map that was in our festival guide. You know, it's colorful. It's you can see there are two bookends or street ends. We had a Grom zone, trying to bring families to the event for the first year in a real way. And then we had the Grove. And this was a place where people like Central Coast Women for Fisheries, who do the albacore stuffed avocado, you know, the dishes that are avocado focused, not avocado toppings on top of maybe a hot dog or a tri-tip sandwich. We want to encourage, and we're making a better effort this year to encourage caterers, restaurants to come in and do like a deep fried avocado or do avocado mousse and do these things that are different. We enjoy a great relationship with the Avocado Commission sponsorship relationship, and they have multiple recipes and they're all about the health benefits of avocados and things like that. So they drive a lot of traffic. And so long story short, we've got the Grove that we're this year going to shift into the center of the footprint. So people will have to go through that Grove rather than kind of finding it in a little corner. So I have, you know, the staff, I'm prepared to answer any questions that you guys have. I don't want to take up too much of your time, but we are very, very grateful for the funding and the support that's been provided by this board. And we hope to continue to grow this relationship and this festival for the city.
I actually have a few comments and questions. One, yes. The graphic design on the Avocado Margarita Festival is awesome, and it's outstanding. And comparing that to any of the work submitted by any of the website designers, it's just night and day. So I if there's an opportunity to incorporate that into our future website design so it doesn't look like every DMO site that's out there, I think that's a great thing. Second, I really appreciate the quantitative measurement of the Avocado Margarita Festival and see no reason why anyone who's, let's say anyone pitching for the marketing business coming up here in March cannot just do the same thing or something similar to what you've done for that event. I know it's not necessarily feasible to do that for every press clipping, but an agenda with 16 pages of press clippings and only 12 pages of actual content, I think is maybe not the direction that that is useful long-term in terms of tracking event success, so I appreciate that as well. In terms of the success, measuring success of the Avocado Margarita Festival, I saw that 47% of guests spent more than $50 in Morro Bay. That means 53% of people spent less than $50 in Morro Bay, absent of lodging, was the number, which seems like a pretty low dollar amount for expenditures in Morro Bay. And then couple that with the fact that the percentage of people that stayed in Morro Bay hotels was only in the 20s. I guess my overarching question is who benefits the most from, or maybe the top three groups or entities that truly benefit, given those very useful tracking numbers. That's
so
my first question.
Yeah, well, okay. So the one to speak to the economic impact and the spending habits. So we asked in increments of under $10, 10 to 50, 50 to 100, and more than $100. And the question was, not including at the festival, how much did each adult in your party spend on food, beverage, shopping, and/or recreation while you were in Morro Bay? So more than $100 was 21%, 50 to 100 was 26%, 10 to $50 was 36%. So I think, yeah, why aren't they spending more money, I guess, is kind of the...
Almost all dollar amounts are then going to, are staying within the festival, which, it has tangible benefits as well, or to a hotel or some kind of lodging. So I'm just trying to track that out.
Yeah, and I think that, we have a really active committee for this festival, and some of the people who are on that committee have been on it since day one, which I think is great. That speaks to longevity and institutional memory and that kind of thing. But for the first year this year, we have invited, we're engaging that committee in a different way. So we discuss things that are topical, like bar, like layout, things that are very kind of precise, banking. But we're starting to do sort of like a brain splat, a brainstorming. Everybody come, let's throw it all up on the wall and see what sort of experiential components or how can we be a better neighbor, to businesses that are being impacted there. So we just started that process. We had that meeting on Tuesday, and we'll have another one, I think it's in 3 months. So if people are interested in coming to those types, we need, we're only as good as the heads at the table, it's the brain trust. And so we need more brains at that table. So those are great questions, and I'd love to have you come to one of those meetings if you're interested.
And a follow-up question, because that brainstorm session sounds so useful and open in the same way that, to some degree, the chamber and local businesses has that to some degree. In terms of surveying people at an event like this, it is an open sharing of information in a way that I continue to see use in a general survey for hoteliers that hoteliers have in some way seemed to resist based on wanting to withhold proprietary information and not wanting to participate in a more general survey that seems to be a useful information sharing. So just throwing that idea out there to model us some way after those two entities.
Thanks. Yeah. And your question, again, it's only such a small sample survey sample. 50% of people through the front gate took our survey. We could make real generalizations, I think, from this data. But, your question, did you stay overnight and where? So 33% of 12,000, but you really can't say that. The numbers just don't work out like that. But 33% said they stayed in Morro Bay, and then of that 33%, it was 29% that stayed in hotels. So any other questions?
I had a question about numbers. Each year, the festival, which is one of our most successful festivals in the city, it seems like, each year the number of people attending it increase. You said 12,000 was your number this year.
Mm-hmm.
If that continues, is that your goal?
Which is terrifying. No, it's a lot of people. I mean, the population of our city is 10,500.
Yeah.
It's terrifying, right? We did have some traffic control this year. So I think the year prior it got real cramped real fast. I think we have an amazing event coordinator. We work with Kyle Beal Womack. This will be her fourth year. She signed on again for us. We were watching the numbers in 2016. you know, and trying to set, do we hold people at the gate? Is it too busy? What are we going to do? And we decided, you know, it's only 1 o'clock. Like, this is definitely going to die by 3. Like, let's let them in, you know. And we were selling tickets, and people were coming in throughout the day. So this past year, we changed our behavior at the gates, and we did hold people at the gates. So we kind of said, hey, you're going to have to hang out just 10 minutes. We're waiting for some people to come out, you know, doing traffic control. So I think that, coupled with this idea of, you know, we've been inspired by the crawl concept. We really like that. You know, the success of that Santa crawl, I think it's great. And I'm curious to see how the leprechaun crawl and the Cinco de Mayo crawl go. But that idea of a passport, you know, so maybe we're handing something out at the gate if people are going to be held there. Hey, make sure you go get some stamps at your passport. You know, shop around here, and then you can come back in 15, 20 minutes, and maybe the gate will be open, that kind of thing. Does that help you answer your question? Or, I mean, I think your question is, how do we not outgrow our space? And I think that that's a real concern. But it doesn't mean we shouldn't continue to have the festival.
No, I think the success of the festival only makes it more important that we maintain the festival.
Yeah.
I think that my fears are that these numbers are great until there's tragedy, right? Until something bad happens because there's too many people and, you know, we get negative feedback, and then you're going to have a card-falling effect. And if we look back to the way the Harbor Festival used to be back in its heyday, when it was massive and took up so much of the waterfront, that was maybe where I was leading with this. Is there discussion of you expanding your footprint from what originally was a parking lot, one of our best located parking lots, but not necessarily our prettiest parking lot, to a larger space, such as an extended portion of the Embarcadero, like the Harbor Festival used to be, or, you know, what I'd love to see someday being an event venue is the Rock parking lot.
Right.
I mean, everybody talks about that. We have the Kite Festival out there, kind of. It's more on the beach, but I know there's difficulties with that location, but wouldn't it be great if we tried to strive for that?
Yes, and, you know, Kyle does do measurements and taping, and we do look at layout and we look at location every year. I think coming into this year, we thought, yes, let's ask for more space. You know, let's get another block. But with that comes increased cost. And also, I think what we saw this year was we had an additional block. ABC law dictates that we must block that space. You know, we have to keep people who are imbibing inside of that space. And it was not the most well thought out. I'll be totally transparent. You know, we did not see that having all of that gating and that fencing would block access to our brick and mortars. You know, so we had a very, we had extensive outreach after the festival where we invited stakeholders in to give us their feedback, and we are integrating that feedback into next year by having more catwalks through the fencing, which increases our labor costs, you know, but that's fine because it's important to get people to the shops, especially employees too. You know, they're coming down and they walked into this thing and said, how the heck do I get to my business? You know, I got to walk all the way down and around and that kind of thing. So we did make day of adjustments where we opened up and we had catwalks established. But this year we are having at least 3 meetings with stakeholders, 1 before, 2 after, to get their feedback, to get brick and mortar feedback on how we can best serve them. So fencing off the entire Embarcadero is not probably the way we want to go.
So just to follow up on your comment, so by increasing the footprint, your costs, labor, amount of fencing, is there an increased cost from the city as far as usage of the space?
I don't know. That's a question for permitting. So.
Right, because I would think that we could strive to alleviate that cost. I mean, if we as tourism is looking at tourism as our bankroll for the city, and events are the main draw for, if that's what people search for when they're looking for tourism in the city, and this is our main event for the city, so therefore the city should support the event in all ways. So if there was increased cost because of amount of space usage from the city, then we could talk to the city about decreasing that. I would imagine.
Yeah, I'd be grateful for that, and I'm also really grateful for the working relationship that we have. Matt Vieira, who's our fire marshal, you know, walked the footprint with us last year and pointed out the things that were problematic, and we are integrating that this year. And we've done walkthroughs with him trying to conceive of a larger space. But, you know, so we're kind of working the layout now. But thank you for your feedback, Tyler. I mean, or sorry, Taylor.
It's Taylor.
I know. I just said all like Brett and Brent and Taylor and Tyler. I always have a hard time with them. I apologize.
All my life.
Sorry, man. It's awful.
Thank you. What a great event.
Thanks.
Both of them. Really okay. Super.
Great.
Thanks.
Thank
Thanks
you
for
much.
Your report.
Thanks.
And now Michelle with Superbration.
Is it on?
Yeah, it's on.
Okay.
You're on.
Okay, so I am actually Kimberly Perez, and not Michelle. Michelle had an emergency this morning, and I'm the president of Pacific Wildlife Care. Michelle is a volunteer with us, and she also wrote out the grant request. So I'm going to fill in this morning, and I have to follow that presentation, and I'll be better prepared next time, okay?
You're going to do great.
Okay, so Pacific Wildlife Care, this is our main fundraising event, Superbration. This year, the grant allowed us to open it up to an additional day, a Saturday day, called Morro Bay Wild. It was a tour of our facility. We set it up outside. It had last year's winning soup from the Superbration event in the previous year. And it was a tour of the facility, our educational ambassadors, and just a very small, intimate, nice, in a tent event where people could enjoy wine, go on the tour, and do that kind of thing. We were allowed, with the grant, we were able to get tents for that event because our facility is too small to accommodate a lot of people. It also gave it a little more charming ambiance by having some of that, the windows and things in the tents and on the sides. We also tried to do promotion with the rest of the money, and that was for both events. So the Saturday event had 46 attendees. When we did surveys this year on every one of them, and so it sold out with 46 attendees. 76% were from Slo County, and 18% of the attendees were visitors. None were spending the night, though. They were staying with family, or they just came for the day. We did have a family come in from L.A. that drove in. They weren't part of our attendee list. They drove in, so had seen it advertised in Westways, and they were camping. So that's about. We went ahead and let them go on the rest of the tour and stuff. They came in late. It was a good opportunity. This is the first time that event. This is Morro Bay Wild. It was open to the public, and we thought it was a good way to educate people about what PWC does, which is Pacific Wildlife Care does for the community. Just so you understand, our facility is here located in Morro Bay, but we actually service all of Slo County. And so this Morro Bay Wild was more targeted to that. We advertised locally mostly. The collaboration here, who is doing some of the tourism marketing and things like that. We couldn't tell. A lot of the people, they saw it in KT, they saw advertisements in KSBY, Tribune. We had a nice write-up. We were one of the, I think with the Avocado Festival, you know, one of the food things of Slo County that was interesting to go to. Overall, the reviews on that Saturday event were excellent, and we would do it again. We think there's a need to do it, but we would, it still is subject to have, you know, space, having a smaller, a lower number of people. It is a medical hospital, wildlife hospital. Superbration had a lower turnout this year. Well, that's so the trade-off, I think, was, or Michelle was saying that some of this was consistent with other fundraisers in the area, that there was a lower turnout. If we look at both events, both years, this year's event with two events came out the same as last year's event at Superbration. So we don't know if it carved out a piece of those that came to Superbration the next day. Superbration is actually 14 different chefs or restaurants that come and they compete with soups. There were 23 different soups for them to sample, and there's beer and wine tasting and all kinds of things going on with our ambassadors and a silent auction, and we do a fund-a-need. It actually was very successful. Even then, it brings in, it brought in about the same as it did last year. We were able to fund about $23,000 in operating expenses from that event, and about $7,000 of that is for capital needs. We do a fund-a-need campaign. The first time this at Superbration, it was the first time we did on-the-spot interviews as well. Out of there were 140. Let me see what we had. We had 87 people that we filled out a survey, but we had. Didn't write it down, I don't think. About 150 participants instead of, or 100. There was 100. No, there was 150. And then the two combined was the almost 200, which is the normal attendance last year. 87 of those 150 were surveyed, and 21% of those were visitors that were greater than 50 miles, but again, none were spending the night in Morro Bay. 22% came from, you know, Cambria by itself. So it's been very well supported by restaurants, and we're able to highlight their soups. In 2016, Morro Bay Shine Cafe won for their soup. And that was one of the soups we prepared at the Morro Bay Wild event this year. So people were sampling that. Hopefully it drives people to go to those restaurants, although those soups aren't always available when they go. They're probably looking for them, but they have good soup no matter where. It's right now it looks like both events are mostly supported by locals. More advertising is needed outside of the area that we can see. We actually co-sponsor the Morro Bay Winter Bird Festival, and it's a huge draw, bringing 500 people into the community during the Martin Luther King Jr. weekend. We perform a Meet the Raptors show and things like that, so we know there's more that we could do to fill in some of those spots that we lost at Superbration. But we also are a little constrained by venue space and in growing much more than we are at this point. We're using the community center because we need electricity to run it. So it's very difficult. You know, you could put tents up, but we need electricity to keep soup warm. So we're a little constrained by venue. The event venues, this is the largest one we have, and it's pretty packed even with 150 people. So if we grew much more, it would be kind of same problems. You know, you can't expand a building. We are promoted for the Morro Bay Winter Bird Festival as a stewardship travel attraction. We have tours at our center. It's the only time the public can see our center, and they're usually very fascinated by what is going on in there. So we appreciate, though, the support that this board gave to us this year of $25,000. We used 1,000 of it was for the tenting for the Morro Bay Wild. The other 1,500 or so was for promotion. And most of the surveys said that's where they saw the event was in the promotion materials, Westways or KTA, the radio, Tascadero News, you know, we have ads in all of them. So we ask you for your thoughts. We hope that we can continue to obtain your support in the future for this event. We would like to continue, especially with the Morro Bay Wild Side.
I had a question. You said the word 25,000. Is that what you meant to say, or 2,500? Because 25,000
would be a large
number. Oh,
yeah, 2,500. I'm very sorry. Yes, it's 2,500.
And then to follow also up, the being a biologist in training and education, I've worked at Zoo to U in Paso Robles, which is one style of animal rehabilitation center where they actually involve humans with the animals because the animals aren't going back to the wild. And your center, which I've worked at every year, is the opposite of that, where the entire point of the program is to get the animals back into the wild. So having people at the center is actually not what the animals want. So I realize that 46 people is really like maybe more than you should have on site at one time. So I know that that you're limited in a big way in expanding that event, and I wanted to point that out to everybody.
Okay, so let me retract that a little bit. Yes, it was three different tours, 16 in each one. So you're absolutely right. We gave them a little showing of what we do, a film showing. We have a video of that. We take them through, but we're working on a virtual tour of the internal part of the hospital, which I think would help, and then we can then focus on the outside of the center. People come there sometimes to see the animals, but the animals aren't really easily seen. They have to be covered. Stress is caused, so yes.
I had another thing.
We just would want to continue it. I don't know that we can grow that side. Supabration, we can grow up to the facility size.
So when I look at events, I'm looking at two things. I'm looking at how many people can we get into the hotel that are coming to the event, that are staying. And then I'm looking at as a marketing tool, because much of what we spend our budget on is marketing Morro Bay. So Morro Bay being, you know, a place where people come to see otters, come to see the wildlife, come to see birds. I mean, I feel that the Pacific Wildlife Center plays an intricate role in that, even though it's behind the scenes. That's why I'm such a huge supporter of this event. So for me, your event is not so much about people staying in the hotels. It's more about supporting a part of our city that needs funds. And this is your main event that actually puts the spotlight on you. And if we're only giving you $2,500, that doesn't really seem like a lot to me. But one thing I did wanted to ask you is, what is your annual budget for the center here in Morro Bay? Like, how much money do you need as a nonprofit in order to operate that facility?
So last year's expenses were just about $500,000.
So you raised $23,000 at this event, is what you said? And your annual expenses are over $500,000.
We depend on individuals for most of our care of animals. We're reaching out beyond we don't receive any governmental funding. We do get some grants, about $100,000 in grants. We requested that this would be one of them, but we have two fundraisers a year. It brings in about $50,000 between the two, and we hope that that brings in people that want to become more involved in our organization, become members, not just to come to our events.
Right. So most of your funds come from private donors.
That's right.
Right. So this event is really a special partnership you have with the city, and it's not a lot of money that we're giving you.
We think it is. We're very appreciative.
That's very respectful of you.
What are the two events you just mentioned?
Last year, we have a Windows into Wildlife, and then the Supabration. Supabration was expanded into two, and we'd like to continue to maybe do that on a small scale. We can't get much bigger there. But the other one we had last year was called Wild at Heart, and it was up at Swallow Creek Ranch. And that was a different kind of event. It was in Cayucas, where we could utilize the space on the ranch and do hiking, and we had music and things like that, and film, and the San Luis Outdoor Painters for the Environment were there. So it was just a fun outdoor, let's, you know, love where we live kind of an event, and it was very successful.
Well, I'm impressed with your fundraising. I'm on the board of the Seymour Marine Discovery Center, and we've got about a $2.5 million budget, but maybe we need to learn from your fundraising.
So that's all board.
I'd like to ask Joan and Charlie a question, since we're the only three hotel people in town that are here today. For the Bird Festival, did you guys see business from that? Okay. Sure. We had several people at our property, too.
As the host hotel, we did experience some cancellations. However, we made it up with folks coming from the north. The Winter Bird Festival is probably one of the shining stars of what happens in January when everything's quiet. And so it's one of those events that, you know, we support wholeheartedly. So,
Joan, what about you? Did you have some bird people that weekend? Yeah. All right. Thanks.
Any other public comment? And thank you so much for coming and giving your report today. Superbrations, I love it. It's a great event. I always see my friends there. And then one of the things that we like to do is afterwards we make our list and we go back to those restaurants,
exactly,
whether it's for the soup or not. It's
right.
Really to experience the chef who's so
That's
creative.
True.
So great, great fun.
We're
I think
trying to maybe bring in out-of-state chefs.
And I think that there's opportunity to grow with tourism. I think that we can do a better job to assist in the marketing of the event in order to drive a few more heads in beds.
Great.
One thing I did want, I had forgot to point out that I love about your event, which is the only event I know of that does this in our county, is you have every year some of the biggest names and celebrity judges in California that come to your event, your tiny little event. You have, this year you had two of the biggest superstars out of Los Angeles as far as celebrity chefs go.
Yes.
Every single year you're able to get some of the most well-known, most televised celebrity chefs in the world to come to your event to be judges, which is unbelievable that you're able to do that. I wish maybe you should market that more, that you have these famous people judging at your event. And, I mean, as far as the foodie world goes, that's huge.
Right. So, you know Charmaine. She is the planner of that, and so she's very involved, so she does know. But we do have a James Beard awardee or nominee that we may be able to bring in this year as a judge. So we have a couple judges already that we're already doing. You're absolutely right on that. But she's the behind it. And I will have to say Gorilla Gardeners has been a wonderful supporter also of that event, always. And all of our events. They were at all of them. So we appreciate that in you, Taylor. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I'd like to open the floor to any public comment regarding our grants.
Hi, Joan Solu. I just want to say thank you so much to our event organizers, to the Pacific Wildlife, to the Bird Festival, Avocado Margarita, Harbor Festival, 4th of July. It's the same 300 people over and over again doing everything. Luckily for the chamber, they have an Erica that, you know, spins their wheels. It is important when you look at grant funding that you look at the overall economic impact and growth that a grant is going to have. It was interesting sitting here listening to Erica's numbers. I appreciate that she put together numbers on sales revenue outside of the event. I think that's something that you should always ask for, and you should break out what hotel is. I mean, when you think about it, I just did a little quick math thing, and when you look at 12,000 people, she said she had 12,000 people. When you have 12,000 people, Erica, and they go out and they spend that $50, if 12,000 people are spending $50, that's about $495 or $500 in sales tax revenue. 12,000 people spending $50 in this town gets the city about $500 in sales tax revenue. So how can we grow that? I appreciate that she's looking for ways to grow that into our brick and mortar businesses so that their revenue increases and the sales tax directly back increases. Now, the events all have impact fees and everything like that that grows the city revenue coffers too. What I'm focusing on is the revenue to our brick and mortars. If you have, you know, 12,000 people spending $100 as an average room rate, well, that's a different deal because the city gets exactly 10% of that $12,000. They collect it and they hold it. So they get to hold that revenue as their own. It's a much more significant impact. But I so appreciate everything that these events are doing. I love the new design of the Avocado Margarita Festival marketing. You know, I think we do need to take our marketing up to another level, to a fresh appearance, a fresh approach. I would encourage all of you, as you put together the budget for the 2018-2019 fiscal, to instead of spending $400,000 with a marketing firm, as we move to this new marketing firm, to give them more grab, I would encourage you to put $600,000 of your revenue into the marketing firm, because we need to really turn it on here, especially with the losses that we've had. We can gain, and we need to be gain. Our goal needs to be bigger than a 3% gain here in this community. We just deserve more. We just, all the residents here just deserve more than that. And so I appreciate everything that everyone's doing.
Thank you, Joan. Any further comment? Seeing none? Ken? Seeing none, we're going to move on. B4, morrobay.org.
All right, so let's talk about the website. Last month, we had 5 potential vendors come and present at January's meeting, and we decided to go and move forward with SimpleView and Verdin as our 2 final choices. And Jennifer and I and board member Maggie Jurin all met about a week later to review our choices and kind of consolidate any questions we had and thoughts. And we kind of came to a consensus all together. We all thought that our top choice was SimpleView, given that the budget can support. Jennifer is going into her mid-year budget review, so she'll have more answers for you guys at the next meeting about the budget. From my standpoint, I'm the one that is regularly updating the site. I don't really know much about web development or the technical side, but we had a conference call with SimpleView, and they showed us the back end of the site and kind of let us play around with it and see the functionality of it, and it was incredibly intuitive. For me, a way different experience than our current site. I'm always on the phone with MobiManage trying to talk to them, getting them to answer my questions, and it really delays the process of publishing and keeping our website up to date and on time. So this was kind of exciting for me to see. They also kind of had a high monthly fee that covered a variety of ongoing updates, and we were concerned why this fee was so high. And we talked to SimpleView about it, and essentially this allows them to update the website and the plugins without contact with us, without billing us hours, to ensure, again, the timely accuracy of the site. And it kind of just makes the process a little bit smoother for all of us, given that the budget, again, can support that fee. To offset that cost, we have interest in monetizing the site, potentially having businesses come on and bring in some advertisements, and hopefully that'll alleviate some of the costs. The back end also showed a lot of colorful reports and charts, which was awesome for me to see. About readership, article readership, listing readership, social media readership, platforms on social media, Twitter versus Facebook, which was really interesting for me to see as somebody that creates content for the site and writes the blog, so I can kind of tailor to what our guests are looking for. So we also talked about Verdin. We had a couple questions about Verdin. I worked with Verdin in the past, and I know that they're an absolute creative powerhouse. They have a lot of fresh ideas. And they had a couple examples during their presentation of websites last month. And I walked away from that presentation thinking that those examples were sites that they themselves had created. And I was unclear that those examples, they did not create themselves. So those examples are purely inspirational pieces from other websites that they are inspired by and potentially could create for us, but those were not their own sites. We also were kind of concerned in talking about NDIC, who was their web developer that they've chosen for us, and their relationship with Verdin. Verdin kind of goes through a variety of web developers, depending on the client, the DMO, and we were curious as to why that was, why they aren't sticking to one consistent one. And Ashley Akers talked to us on the phone about that, and she said that they choose the web developer independent of the DMO's needs. So, dependent on the DMO's needs. So that's why they chose NDIC, is because they thought they were the best fit for us. This process will also take them roughly 7 months, whereas SimpleView said that their process would take about 5 to 7 months, depending on how responsive we are with getting the content and the information to them, and that they could speed that process up if possible if we wanted to. So here's an example of one of the sites that Verdin showed last month. Visit Bermuda. This is a screenshot of the site. It's not the actual site itself. I think many of you can recall that that fire in the middle of the picture there is actually moving on the real site. It's a little animated GIF. And it looks really appealing to the eye and super great idea. But again, Verdin did not create this piece. This is not their site. So I just want to make that clear to the board and the public that that distinction is there. Currently, our site is run through MobiManage, and the contract is up for renewal in April, and we need to renew that contract in order to keep the site live, otherwise it'll just go dark. So we're going to renew that contract until October 2018, and hopefully by then the new site will be up and running and ready to go. So staff, me, Maggie, and Jennifer all discussed and thought we had some potential concerns about some of the vendors, particularly Verdin, and we were considering maybe the board would be open to possibly bringing on a third potential finalist for consideration, or if we wanted to stick with Verdin and SimpleView and move forward with that and talk about the budget next meeting and go from there.
I have some questions and maybe some suggestions. I do agree with the concerns about Verdin. Their portfolio seemed to be lacking, and they seem to skew towards creative services, which brought up a question that basically, is there an advantage to waiting and having the next marketing company or whoever that is incorporate that into their budget or their bid or their presentation? Is there an advantage to doing that as opposed to creating a standalone one-off thing? There might be some cohesion and there might be some cost savings to having that, waiting to see in March what people present, and if website development and graphic design is part of that, it may make sense to handle that mid-March when we see what we're looking at. Because it doesn't make sense at all to hire a design, a marketing firm to handle web design if their focus is really marketing. I do like the local nature of Verdin, which SimpleView doesn't seem to have. Another concern, it seems like, and I'd like to learn more about this if we can find out the information, how and why Verdin lost SlowCal's account to SimpleView, which seems to be pretty relevant as they are our two candidates, and we know people in SlowCal that could probably speak to that. Regarding SimpleView's monthly fee, that seems to be very problematic because that seems to be right in line with what our current Mobi is dealing with and the problem we're facing there. It seemed to be, when we were talking about this early on, that our goal was to create a WordPress platform or some standalone thing that we can easily manage internally, because it seems like we produce great content. And to be honest, morrowbay.org is not inferior to any of the pages currently operated by SimpleView or Verdin's creation. So in that same vein, there's no reason why we couldn't hire some one-off person to create a mirror image of what we currently have on morrowbay.org on a WordPress platform for next to nothing and still pull it off. And then we have an in-house model that we can operate within rather than calling up SimpleView or Mobi. However, it seems what SimpleView provided to you guys over the phone is very promising, and the fact that you totally understand it over the phone through that communication is great. If we can eliminate that communication, even better, long term. So I guess my suggestion would be to either wait and see what we get from our pitches or our presentations in early March, or if people feel like moving forward with the two that we have, I think we certainly need to add a third one if people really feel strongly about that. And what my suggestion would be on that third one would be a clear, straight-up web designer, not a graphic designer, not a marketer, just purely web design. We seem to have plenty of graphic design resources, and I'd be happy to be part of such a committee. I work with document design and technical writing and content creation, so that seems like the kind of meeting that I'd want to be part of.
I had a comment. I wanted to point out in response to Sean that Mental Marketing, who currently has our marketing contract as well as our public relations contract, which before that we had Verdin doing public relations, I believe, and Mental Marketing doing marketing. So last year we conciced it down to one company doing both of those. And then at the last meeting, Sean, Mental Marketing bid for the website design. So they would then have all three of those contracts. They always have a great presentation. It would logically make sense to put them on your review as their third option, since I felt like our last meeting were, in my opinion, they were the next best option. Although I wanted to point out that they themselves weren't the designee of the website. They were actually subcontracting it out to another designer. And what I like about SimpleView, because my choice is SimpleView, personally. That's who I want. We could just stop this conversation now and go with SimpleView as far as I'm concerned. Is that SimpleView does this all over the nation for giant cities, tiny cities. They specifically are only doing for tourism, DMOs, website design. They're not doing website design for all these different kinds of things. This is what they do. And that man got up there and just laid it down like he knew exactly what he was talking about. And if we said yes or no, he didn't care, because he knew what he was talking about. And that wins, as far as I'm concerned, in 2018. So what I'm saying cumulatively here is that if you want a third option, bring in Mental Marketing. I mean, if you gave it to them, they'd have all three of our contracts, and I guess that might make it better. I'm not a big proponent of that. I like separating them out to have, you know, competition. My opinion personally is I'd like to have SimpleView be the person that takes over our website.
I agree with Taylor on the SimpleView. To me, you know, seeing what we saw, it was a clear choice. And to speak to what you said, Sean, about the, you know, bringing in potentially a third person, there is a lot of ongoing, continuous, day-to-day stuff that has to happen. If you're integrating Google Maps, if you're doing this, you know, there's always a constant updating. And if you looked at the list of what was included in SimpleView's monthly fees, what we didn't see, we kind of didn't see apples to apples when we were looking at this, because we got kind of a one big price from the other vendors, where SimpleView broke it all out and you got to see it. So we asked the question, what's all this about? And as they explained it, to me, made a lot of sense. So my concern is we could go with I think those costs are going to be there. You know, you expressed concern about the high cost of that. And some of them were optional that we looked at and said, well, maybe we would do that for the first year, like the support, the monthly support cost. But I believe that what you're going to have with any developer is either, if we just went out, got a straightforward someone who could integrate, you know, do a conversion to WordPress, then you're going to still be paying that person to do ongoing support as all these supplemental software things that you integrate into the website get updated and changed. So what we're going to try to do when we get down to looking at money, I think, is to try and make sure we're looking at apples to apples and saying, okay, yeah, this much for, you know, a lot of them just gave us a price for getting the initial website up. And my belief is with any choice, you're going to have ongoing cost. And what SimpleView has, the advantage you have there, of course, is that they're doing this for lots of things. So that's where they've developed all the really cool reports. And, you know, but you can say, yeah, well, who needs all that? If you can only afford a Volkswagen, then why buy a Cadillac, right? But on the other hand, you also have to realize that because of that, those interfaces and that information, it will save some cost from a staffing standpoint that you're not, you know, it's easy to go in and do these things. You're not spending hours, Shannon's not spending hours on the phone with another vendor trying to explain to them what you want. You can go in and control it yourself. So when it's all said and done, I guess my point is that it's important to make sure when we do look at pricing that we're getting, we get that ongoing cost, what we think it would be, or we'd have to look at equivalent staff costs to support that. So.
Well, I'm kind of the new kid on the block, so I want to be careful what I say, but as I understood it, we went into this process as good business, that we weren't unhappy with our present vendor. Is that an accurate statement? Okay. Then that answers my question. That's just what I was told. So, and as far as SimpleView, if that's what you're happy with, if that's what the staff and you guys have spent and Maggie spent a lot of time, I'm with you.
My recommendation is SimpleView as well. Just letting you know.
But to Shannon's point, it's all money-based because they've got to look at budget and see. And I don't know if we have any negotiating power with them or not. You know, if we went back and said, yeah, can you cut out this? Could you do this? You know, we can't afford this. I don't know if that's an option. But yeah, I tend to agree that SimpleView is the clear choice, but can we afford it?
And if it wasn't clear, SimpleView is my current choice. I'm just basically saying is there harm in waiting 3-4 weeks to see what comes in at that upcoming RFP?
I think it's pretty smart to wait till March to see what we're getting from the marketing firms.
So my question is to Shannon, since that's what we're discussing now, is you're looking for direction from us. Are you looking for direction from us for us to say, let's wait? Are you looking for direction from us to say, we want SimpleView? Are you looking for direction from us to say, here's a third option for you to use in your staff hours that you're going to have for the next few weeks?
So I'm not necessarily asking you guys to make a selection today. I'm asking if you would like to potentially bring on a third vendor in consideration. And given the budget review that's going to happen this next month, and Jennifer's going to be presenting it the next meeting, we will have to wait and go from there and see what the budget is looking like. So we are not making any sort of decisions today.
So if we said we don't want to do anything right now, go ahead and keep doing your job, good job, then we can end this conversation?
So I guess the point of this was to gather your guys' thoughts about who you like the best, and if you potentially wanted to bring on the third person, their third vendor, we could do that. But it seems as though you guys are in agreement that you all like SimpleView the best. And it's your choice if you want to bring in Mental Marketing or whoever you'd like to as the third finalist, but that we would make a selection at the next meeting.
I feel like our only other option would be to bring in Mental Marketing, and I really, really didn't like his response when he said that WordPress was not – comparable or better than Joomla, because my opinion was that he was totally wrong on that from my web analysis, who works for Bank of America and many big business places in San Francisco. So I think his opinion is huge. So I'm not a fan of mental marketing in this respect, and I don't feel like you have another option. So I agree with everything you said about Verdin. So I think that you're down to Simple View, and we all already said that Simple View is our choice. So I think the conversation's over.
I'd like to open the floor to public comment.
Hi, Joan Solu, and I'm going to speak fast because actually on this one I have a lot to say, so let's get there. Here's what I'm hearing from your board. I'm hearing from your board that last month you saw presentations, this month you're talking about those presentations, next month you're not going to make a decision till next month, we're going to be 90 days out, we're 140 days out, we're 6 months out, time is money. Period. Don't waste any more time. You have five people right there with a consensus on Simple View. You have a dynamic company willing to work with you and your staff. You create where the expenditures go in your budget. You give staff direction for next year's budget. Staff can find the money in their budget by not wasting staff's time working with the current vendor. This is a business proposition, folks. Don't let it slide by. Don't sit and wait. Move forward. I hear a consensus from you, and I really, really want to see you make a decision for this. Go for it. You've got it. You've got a great company. Look at what they're doing for slow counties. It's so easy for the hoteliers to go in. Come on, Charlie. Manage our websites. Get it on and get some business going. I really feel strongly that if we wait another 30 days to make a decision here, this process will be so clunky and so governmental that nothing is going to move forward for another 180 days. Come on. Come on, have the baby. Stop being in labor. Thank you.
I really hear what Joan's saying. I mean, I'm so much in favor of what she's saying. And I wanted to point out that I really am not pleased with what I've heard about our current provider. And if we're already having to renew a contract till October, and then we're talking about move and waiting even more days, I mean, what if it takes more than 7 months? You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden we have to renew a contract past October with them. So I would love to put my voice on the say and make a motion right now to go with Simple View. I have no problem with putting that on.
Currently, we have to make a recommendation to go forward with Simple View and Verdin as the two finalists, or add a third. And so, do I hear a motion on those two options?
I'd like to make a motion that we just stick with Simple View and Verdin and pursue that, and not complicate the process with the third vendor that there's been opinion. Well, I'll leave it at the motion. I recommend we just go forward with the two.
I second that motion.
So what's the earliest we can move forward? I know it's not agendized, so we can't vote on it today. Is that right?
My understanding is it's going to depend on what the mid-year budget review looks like. Jen's going to bring that back next month.
So right, her motion is the fastest way for us to move forward right now, right?
And I have a motion and a second. Call a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any abstentions or negative? Nope. That passes. Thank you so much.
Can I have a follow-up request for staff? Is there any feasible way where we could not extend our contract and have Simple View put together something adequate to move forward in that direction? I guess we can't vote on it until next month anyway. All right. That probably is not happening. Yeah, just throwing it out there.
Do we have any declaration of any future announcements from the audience, from our staff? Seeing none, I am going to call this meeting adjourned at 10:39. Thank you all.